Broadcasting from the super-secret underground bunker at World Headquarters, this is Sci-Fi for Me Radio.
Stand by. Accessing primary security protocols. Your access has been approved. Welcome to Level 11P7.
Greetings, everyone. Welcome to this episode, this 55th episode of Level 11P7. The Dirty Half Dozen.
Oh.
And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And look at how many we've got tonight here. And
it's
our
almost like we planned it that way, right?
It did something? Yes. Jason Hunt here in the studio with, who shall I start with? Because everybody's back.
Eeny, meeny, miny, mo.
Yes. Cammy Settle here on the end of the table.
Did you miss me?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm back to whip you all in shape again.
Yes. Next to her, Dan Handley.
Hello.
And Maya Aids.
Yeah, yeah.
And Timothy Harvey.
Hello.
And joining us from the other side of our podcasting division, from Fort Worth, Texas, Jeff Hackworth, who is normally on the Rogues Gallery, which is our DC Comics podcast. Hi, Jeff.
I took my cosmic treadmill over here.
This is the amalgam version, I guess, of Level 11P7. Okay, so we are talking tonight about Marvel's Agents
of S.H.I.E.L.D.
We did
have the invisible jet tonight.
Yes, we did. We did. Yeah. Yes, we had Wonder Woman's plane. They got blown out of the sky. Spoilers. Mm-hmm. And we are talking, yes, Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the episode The Dirty Half Dozen. And who wants to give us plot? Cammy Plotsky.
She's the only person because she has the notes.
Yeah.
You know me.
Unless, do you have it, Jeff?
Jeff?
All right, let's go.
Okay, yeah. So we start out tonight's episode with Raina's premonition. And she realizes that something bad is going to happen. She sees a flash of Gordon with some blood on his forehead. She sees something happening to Lincoln. She knows something really bad is going to happen. And so she essentially convinces Skye to go and rescue them. And she's the one that has to rescue them, at least in her mind. Shall I continue?
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, just keep going.
You guys are not helping me.
If we're not jumping
we are,
in, just keep going.
We are okay. Enthralled.
Totally.
All right. So then we skip to Cal, and he's having this lovely little talk with his wife, and he's a little upset with her because, you know, she was going to dump him out in the middle of nowhere and leave him alone, and, you know, I probably came in a little too hot, and I should have counted to ten.
I love that
He's
line.
Got some great lines.
You know, he's man-child, this crazy man-child, and she has some kind of way to calm him down. So she gets him to at least admit that he's a little high-strung and he needs to just mellow out, and then we get to Coulson back at the real S.H.I.E.L.D., who has given himself up last episode, right? Got himself captured.
Right.
And he's confronting...
Take me to your leader.
Yeah, he confronts Gonzalez, and he presents his own plan. With his plan, his people, you know, nobody's at risk other than the people who are willing to do this for him. And they have this big vote, and they outnumber... Basically, they vote for Coulson's plan. And Coulson kind of pulls this little... He pulls a punch with Gonzalez. He says, you know, hey, we all have our secrets. For example, what's in the cargo hold?
Yeah.
So now what is in the cargo hold?
We don't know. That goes way
back.
That
has yet to be revealed. That was teased the very first time in the flashbacks to the fall of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right.
And we have yet to get any kind of even a hint of what is in
so they're
the
all,
cargo hold.
They're all pretending to be hurt by Coulson's secrets and yada, yada, yada. And then he says, you know, basically, you guys are doing it too. So just back off. Let's do this plan. Let's rescue Lincoln and Mike. They're in Hydra jail. And so then we go to Hunter and Fitz. And you know, Hunter's been shot. Fitz basically says, you know, just don't focus. Just, you know, try not to focus on your wound and get past the pain. And then...
In other words, man up.
Yeah. It's like they...
it's just a bullet wound.
Yeah. If you get killed, just walk it off, right?
Chuck Norris could take worse.
But they're on their way to the Arctic Circle, to the Hydra base, and they've actually brought in Ward and 33 And Ward seems to be very bound by his promises. Have you noticed this?
He does.
Yes.
This it must like be something from his either brainwashing or maybe Garrett did this to him.
It could be.
But talk about crossover. It's almost like Lobo.
Well, I want to say that he's always been like this.
Yes, yeah.
From the beginning.
Considering like the changes that he's gone through, I'm surprised that he's holding on to this kind of
the only thing that's keeping him stable.
He's evil, but he's a respectable evil.
Stable.
Yeah, but for some reason, these promises mean a whole lot more to him than any kind of loyalty or sense of right and wrong. That is his sense of right and wrong, is if he's made a personal promise to somebody, that's what's going to drive him. And so he's basically trying to help 33 take her S.H.I.E.L.D. part back, is what he says.
Right, recover her identity as a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent.
So then we kind of cut to the jail, the Hydra jail, and we're seeing, this is one of my favorite scenes tonight, is when we're seeing them from Deathlok's point of view, and they put a spoon in his eye and scoop it out.
Ooh.
Yeah. Just call me strange, but I just thought that was a good shot.
Not the first show this year where we've had that kind of thing happen, because Fish Mooney did it over on Gotham. She did it to herself.
Yeah, she did.
Ew. Yeah. That would be harder.
That was an intense scene. I saw that. I went, yeah, I'm not going to let the kids see that.
Did Deathlok stomp on it like she did?
No. We did not get Deathlok's eye destroyed.
That we know of.
No eye stomping in this episode.
No eye stomping.
At least not that they showed us. It could be stomping on it in another room.
Sure. We didn't see it, though.
So
they dismantle Deathlok. They're starting to experiment on Lincoln. And meanwhile, the team scrambles to go and rescue them. And we've got Bakshi on the loose in Hydra. He's basically kind of playing a double agent right now. So he's got Hydra convinced that he's still loyal to Hydra, and Dr. List is starting to do all of his experimentation. And then Ward claims that Bakshi is his man, right?
Right.
Yeah. Meanwhile,
apparently he was.
Well, yeah.
He was.
Yeah.
Although I wasn't
completely convinced.
I wasn't convinced of that. And
I thought something might happen to Fitz, actually.
He had control over him.
Yeah. We did see Fitz and Simmons kind of being back to the old team tonight.
A little bit.
Much closer than they have been for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, really since they were dumped in the sea.
Mm-hmm. And you notice, and I can't remember who pointed this out, it may have been Dan, that as we've gone through the season, Fitz gets less and less
twitchy,
like I am doing right now. Not being able to find his word.
Let the record show that Jason is wiggling his fingers.
Unable to find a word.
He can speak a lot better. Yeah. Yeah. He doesn't fumble as much.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's almost back to normal, at least for all intents and purposes. Intents and purposes.
Except he realizes that Gemma has changed.
Well, sure.
A lot, and not necessarily for the better.
Although I think she's kind of coming back to the mid range that she was before. I'm wondering
if maybe somebody on the show realized, or maybe fan reaction was such that people said, we probably need to dial that back a little bit.
Right.
Maybe.
She
hopefully.
Got pretty extreme. Well, I mean, she really got extreme with the whole.
Okay, those episodes were shot. There's no way they can adjust this stuff. These episodes were shot months ago.
There was a break, though.
Yeah, but you're still not getting any kind of like real time. You're not going to real time adjust stuff from week to week, because that's how TV works.
We'd like to think that our
it was between.
This doesn't happen live.
And the changes didn't happen after.
Yes, it happens live. In fact, it's happening right now because it's all real.
Cool.
That's right, and it's all connected.
All right, I know because I read it on the internet.
But anyway, they're bonding over their co-hatred for Ward.
Right.
And Gemma makes this comment that maybe Ward should get his, right? And she talks herself onto the team.
Yeah.
And
by
she,
justifying it as being a medic.
Uh-huh. And then she
but she's got a point, though. I mean,
yeah,
for them to put put a team together without a medical person.
I know. We're going to go save these people who are being tortured.
Yes.
Dismantled.
Let's invade an enemy
experimental
base
surgery.
With people who have guns. and not take anybody.
Wait, they have guns? Medical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, forget this.
turns out they have other things, too.
There was a TV show a long time back. I don't remember what it was called, but there was this guy who was a kind of a mercenary on the show and shoots him. They're like, shoots a guy. Another person says, hey, come over here and help hold this wound. He says, I just break him. I don't fix him.
Yep. Not me. That's not my problem. So she gets herself on the team, and she's got an agenda. She has in her pocket one of these devices that basically implants some of this
special bomb
stuff.
Sort of, well, it's
what
some
was
of
the
that
stuff that they took off
stuff.
Of the obelisk, yeah. Right?
Right.
The mm-hmm. diviner.
Right. Obelisk yeah. juice.
And it essentially just disassembles a person. She's intending to use this on Ward, and that kind of backfires later, but we'll get to that. Meanwhile, May and Coulson have a standoff. May's confronting Coulson about having all these secrets. You know, what were you doing when you were going places and you didn't tell me where you were going? And, you know, I don't.
You never write, you never call. What's a girl to think?
Yeah.
Never send flowers.
No Twix. No, tweets, Twitters.
Yep.
Use your words,
Maya. Twixes, I don't know.
Well,
they
at least
Twix the two?
At least we Fitz tweak. Is doing better with words.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Somebody has to.
Yeah.
Well, and we get a little bit of that also between Mac and Hunter as they have yes. a little bit of a reconciliation.
Yeah, there was a lot of reconciling tonight. A lot of asking for forgiveness.
Or at least attempting.
And kind of breaking down those bridges.
I like when, I'll get to it at the end.
That's
okay. Go ahead and...
So Coulson basically tells May that... that it was a personal thing. He was actually having counseling with her ex-husband, and, you know, he should have told her. Well,
that's,
you could argue.
And it comes out that's what she was annoyed about,
right.
was the fact that he was having conversations with her ex without telling her, not the fact that he was going all over these places
right.
finding superpowered
or the
people
theta
and recruiting or theta protocol.
No.
Like, you were talking right. to my ex-husband behind my back.
It's always something personal.
Yeah,
a woman scorned.
It was definitely personal this time.
Yes.
And when we find out that Theta Protocol is essentially calling the Avengers out, right?
Maybe.
What do you think? Do you think maybe Theta Protocol is the Ultron?
No.
What?
I wouldn't. Probably not Ultron, but he's calling out the Avengers.
I think he's calling the Avengers.
Right. No.
Right.
Exactly.
Not okay.
Not Ultron. Yeah.
Theta Protocol
is not Ultron.
Yeah.
That was Jason's question.
No. Okay. Is Theta Protocol something connected to?
Oh.
I think the rise of Ultron. Well, I know it's connected to the movie, but
I think
of course
it's highly unlikely, because. There we've seen, and not to say you can't pull this out, it is Joss Whedon after all, but there we've seen no indications that S.H.I.E.L.D. really has any connection to the Avengers movie. I mean, S.H.I.E.L.D. is gone as far as the vast majority of people are concerned.
Well, and Joss Whedon even said that in the movie universe, Phil Coulson is still dead. So
well,
they
that's
haven't even
be interesting.
They haven't well, even still they still have not
okay.
been told.
Yeah, no, they think he's still dead in the movie universe.
Yeah. Nobody's told the Avengers. Out of all of this movement of Phil Coulson.
Awkward conversation to have.
Yeah.
And,
hey,
and Coulson,
about Phil.
Coulson even told Sif,
well,
keep it quiet.
Years.
Keep it quiet from Thor.
Right.
So, you had a nice funeral. Thanks.
Can you imagine what, I wonder how much Mjolnir would have moved if Coulson had been in that room for that scene. Because it moved for Steve Rogers.
Uh-huh. Well, moved a little bit. Wiggled.
Still wiggled.
I would just love to have some scene at some point with Thor, and Coulson actually tosses him Mjolnir, and he says, wait a minute, you're worthy of using it. And then all these S.H.I.E.L.D. agents come in and says, I don't need it.
Don't need it.
So then we pick back up.
Yep. So we get to the scene where Ward joins a team, and they're all kind of getting their briefing from Ward. And he has a great line. He's trying to get all these regrets out of the way and make amends. And finally, Sky just says, I'm still happy I shot you. Which was a good line, I thought.
Coulson had a good line there, too. He's just don't talk to anybody.
Don't talk. No more talking to anybody. So they break into the Hydra headquarters. They rescue the team. They do a lot of pretty cool action shots that look like Halo 3.
Yeah, that's something we'll talk about after the break, too. That particular scene, especially.
Yeah.
how it was shot and how it was staged, because it really did feel video gamey.
Yeah, it did. Yes. And then we've got Gemma, who actually blows up Bakshi instead of Ward. And then Ward basically says, hey, I know when I'm not wanted. Take care of 33. She deserves to be saved, and I'm out of here. And let's see.
And that's kind of when...
Oh, and then Coulson and Fitz were hacking into the computer system. They took something else while they were there.
Well, the information about the scepter.
Yes.
That was it, yes.
Yeah.
The Loki scepter.
Loki scepter apparently is in... They realize, they get the information that Loki scepter is in the hands of Von Strucker and List. And they're apparently using that. Coulson says they don't realize what kind of power they've got.
It can control minds.
It can control minds.
Meanwhile, Reyna is able to tap into this, and it seems to have some power over her as well.
Mm-hmm.
So not only is she just creating these premonitions, but she's actually channeling this energy, this mind control energy. So I wonder if they're going to use her as
I didn't get the sense that she was channeling mind control energy. She was just picking it up. Precognition was showing her Age of Ultron.
My guess is that they're going to realize that she has a connection with this thing, and she is around people they want to hurt, and so they're going to use her as a tool.
That's my
premonition.
Right. She was acting much more like the Reyna that we used to see by the end of this episode.
I think we got a number of characters returning almost to form by the end of this. Of course, Bobby Morse is still having her second thoughts.
Right. Third thoughts.
Coulson is flabbergasted that every decision is put to a vote, because when he says he's talking to Maria Hill and he's like, you won't believe this. What? It's like
they vote on things.
Yeah. I was like, well.
And she's rolling her eyes like, oh, can you believe that?
Oh, I know. Well, and then we have that as the tie-in of sorts to Age of Ultron, which of course is out this week.
Right. Well, also when he handed over the box to Gonzalez, he says, Until Nick Fury comes back for it. Oh, yeah, spoiler.
So how does Nick Fury, and how does... All right, I'm trying to remember the timeline in my head, because Coulson died first. Okay, Nick Fury died after Coulson came back, so that still works. Okay, all right.
Yeah.
And with that, we're into the Age of Ultron promo. At the end of the episode, and there's
a lot of
plenty to parse on all of this, because as we get into the movie, there's going to be repercussions for that in the next couple of episodes, as well as the setup for the spinoff, which we will talk about after the break, which we're going to take now. We're going to refill coffee mugs and water bottles and whatever else we've got to
clear.
And we will be right back when Level 117 continues after this. Stand by.
Podcasting is our superpower. This is Sci-Fi for Me Radio.
All right, you all listening to Level 117, you are no doubt true believers of some stripe, as are we. And some of you are probably even fans of the Distinguished Competition. So, now that the first wave of DC Comics television shows are on the air, it's time to talk about them. Our new DC TV podcast, we call it The Rogues Gallery, and you can hear that same place you hear everything else, right here on Sci-Fi for Me Radio.
Hi folks, my name is Timothy Hardy, and I am one of the co-hosts of H2O, the weekly show about everything genre that I host with Mr. Jason Hunt. And we talk about pretty much anything you need to hear about, or want to hear about, or didn't know you needed to hear about, in the world of sci-fi, fantasy, horror, science fiction, all these great things that we cover every week. And it is just an opportunity for you to tune in and listen to some really, really fun stuff. H2O, sci-fiforme.com. We'd love to have you listen.
Hi, this is Jason Hunt, and if you're one of the dedicated listeners for this show, first of all, thank you. Second, you are sharing with others, are you not? And you should be aware by now, we have many shows as part of Sci-Fi for Me Radio. Our Marvel discussion on Level 117, the DC chat on the Rogues Gallery, Sci-Fi for Chicks talking about various topics, which we also do in mixed company on the Echo Chamber, and H2O, which is our one-on-one discussion between Mr. Harvey and myself, now syndicated over at Amazing Stories Magazine. Sci-Fi for Me Radio is more than one show, and we'd like to invite you to join us for all of it, or at least try it out and see what you think. And also check out Sci-Fi for Me TV, that's our YouTube channel, where we have interviews, convention panel video, and Week in Review, where we deliver a digest of the news of the week. All part of giving you the most bang for your buck. Oh yeah, wait, no, it's free. So check it out, Sci-Fi for Me Radio and Sci-Fi for Me TV, all part of SciFiForMe.com, your portal to the science fiction multiverse.
And now, back to Level 117, the only 100% Hydra-free podcast on the internet. Hail Hydra!
Marvel's Avengers Age of Ultron. Step 3, May 5th, see how it's all connected on Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on ABC.
Ooh, bum, bum, bum.
Step 4.
So next
get your
week,
secret
we find
decoder
out
ring and tune in for the secret code.
Oh, a decoder ring. I think they should have had one of those.
I have.
We should have Sci-Fi for Me decoder rings.
You know, that would be kind of cool.
It would
that
be cool.
That would
yeah.
be kind of cool. Because
what would it decode?
I don't know. I don't know.
Anything you want it to decode.
I found in a box, and I don't know where it is. I think it's in a box upstairs. It is a three-ring binder that's got a bunch of old codes in it. I read a book when I was a kid. It was there's a book out there called Alvin's Secret Code.
Yeah.
And this kid studied cryptography mm-hmm. and had a bunch of old Civil War codes and World War II codes and all these things. So I made notes on how all
That's
of these codes
cool.
work. So I've got a code book.
Jason's code book.
Yes.
Top
Jason's
secret.
Code book. We are back. Level 117 continues here. And we're talking
code books.
We're talking codes.
No warning
secrets.
That we're coming back.
We had to digress somehow.
We are joined in situ. Is that how it is?
We're, yeah. Yep. You might want to give us some warning next time.
The technical term is JIP, join in progress. So,
here we
you know,
are.
Sometimes it helps
gypped.
To have the conversation just kind of flowing and just
like
hit
it.
The button and we go.
I like that.
Okay, so we are talking Marvel's Agents
of S.H.I.E.L.D. As long as you don't say anything compromising.
Yeah, that's
well, you know.
It is us.
That's what editing is for.
Okay.
Fix it in post.
Fixing it in post.
That's yes. why, so that's why we don't do this live.
The time, you know, many the reasons. Times that we have done it live have been fraught with technical issues.
That's true.
We haven't
been able to do it live.
Well, I think we might be able to now.
Oh, that'd be super awesome.
I think we would, I think we've got all the bugs.
So people could listen to it live.
Can I make a recommendation? Can we record it as well when we're doing it live? So we can actually have just in case.
Yeah, none of that went out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. yeah.
Nobody heard that anywhere.
You have so many demands.
I seem to recall asking somebody to bring the recorder so we could do that, and it didn't show up, I think, is the...
That's the excuse.
The part of the story.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Was it my fault?
Can we just catch it on Audacity or something?
Yeah. Well, I didn't. We didn't have Audacity back then. In that time, that was episode 12, is when we did this, and we did it live on Livestream, mm-hmm. and Livestream didn't take it. Mm-hmm. It didn't record it, and we didn't have any. We didn't have any backup copy, and the computers were all going just. You know, not cooperating at all. But since we do have now the Google Hangouts on air,
mm-hmm.
we could actually stream these, and I think we may test some of this on Free Comic Book Day Saturday.
More
we
or
can
less
actually
live.
Stream live on our YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Yep. So, which is what Star Wars did for Celebration 2015 last week.
This is when you ask, do we really want to put our audience through seeing us?
Well, you know, that's always the question, isn't it?
What are you saying? You think it's a bad thing we've all got faces for radio?
It is what he's saying. It's exactly
what
he's saying.
Well, I have
a face for cosplay.
You have a face for cosplay? Yeah, and he does do a very good penguin.
Cool.
Burgess Meredith Penguin. That Burgess Meredith Penguin is very good.
Nice. Well, I got a face for radio and a voice for mime. So there you go.
So,
Okay, now we digressed way off.
Where do we want to start parsing this thing out? How do we want to do this? You know, piece by piece or what?
You mean discussing our analysis?
Yeah, we're in the analysis portion of the show now.
Let's just do bits.
As in blown to bits? The bus is gone.
The bus is gone.
See, thanks for that setup.
You're welcome.
All right. Nice.
And so
nice.
Was a certain agent who took one for Ward.
Yes. Bakshi is dead. The bus is dead.
Hydra has the worst security in the universe.
Ever.
I'm gonna say that I'm making an assumption that in show Bakshi, since he's on the inside, he set it up and made it possible because they were talking about we've got a guy on the inside. I'm gonna say he made it possible for them to get that far
without
into the base
alarms.
Without
Hydra,
being detected.
And Hydra's security is still terrible.
Well, yeah, but
because,
still.
Okay, because if you've got a secret base. Okay, rule one of having a secret base, all right?
You don't build it above ground.
Yeah, well, there's that.
Rule number one is keep it secret.
Well, yeah, exactly. Exactly. don't build it above ground.
Well, it was in the Arctic.
Have perimeter defenses that don't just involve the cannons. Oh, we shot it out of the sky. Clearly, everyone's dead.
Of course they are.
There's no chance that anyone could have possibly survived.
I think that's what they were counting on, is Hydra's... Mm-hmm.
So they're counting on Hydra being idiots?
Yeah.
Okay, well,
sure.
This is not a good plan. This is a poor plan. So, I mean, it's cool and everything, but still it's like, right, you guys don't have any sensors, you don't have an alarm. You don't have an alarm on your door. Quick Trip has alarms on its doors. 7-Eleven has alarms on its doors. Your standard bank has alarms on its doors. Mm-hmm. Pretty sure the secret base where you're storing the superpowered people that you are experimenting on should probably have at least a mag lock. or, you know, perhaps something that, you know, you get a phone call. Hi, this is the security company. We've got a note that you've got a perimeter breach. And
well, even better is to send somebody out for that.
Exactly. Dr. Zola is dead. All that's left now are sort of the wannabes.
Now wait a minute. If we're going to talk about movie tie-ins for a second, there is nothing that says Zola is dead.
Oh, that's true. Well, granted, that computer system was an echo of
the
of
computer it. System has been destroyed.
He's
Zola is out in the internet now.
He's in the Matrix.
He's in the Matrix. There, Zola's going to come back.
Okay.
I hope we see him
in Civil War. He's currently offline.
I want to see him in Civil War. I want to see the beginnings of MODOK in Civil War.
We've already seen
the
beginnings of MODOK. You want to see
secret identities are going to get leaked.
I want a mobile MODOK. I want MODOK in the body. I want the shell. I want to see MODOK.
What'd you say, Jeff?
Do you think Zola is going to come in the internet and like release all the superheroes' secret identities that way?
Well, no, because Black Widow did that at the end of Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
Oh, it's already out.
That's already out.
Yeah, Marvel. The Marvel Universe doesn't really have a whole lot of actual secret identities.
Except Spider-Man.
And if Hydra's been around for 70 years, shouldn't they have more than one secret hidden base somewhere?
Yeah. Yeah, probably. You'd think, maybe. Yeah.
They attack the decoy.
But they do have, well, they've got the base in the Arctic. They've got the base in Stowe's. It's not I want to say Stovokor, and I know that's not right because that's
Slovakia.
But that's not what he said.
What did he say?
Who?
List when he was talking about where Von Strucker is. He didn't say Slovakia. It sounded like where he is. It's in the Balkans.
They have another base, is what you're saying.
It's the fake country. It's the Marvel Universe, Eastern European country that they can blow up on a regular basis and not have to worry about actually going.
Nobody's offended.
Oh, right.
Yes.
Yeah, because nowadays everybody gets offended.
Well, you know, if you're going to kill off a good chunk of the populace, it's generally a good idea to do it to a fictional country.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, I would agree.
And odds are good with Age of Ultron, we're going to get a recreation of that, actually the bit from the comics, one of the more interesting Ultron arcs was that he basically did slaughter like a whole a significant chunk of a country. So
right, because that whole that's the whole premise of Ultron, you know, wiping out humanity in order to save it.
Yeah, but it couldn't be Latveria because that would be in the Fantastic Four movie.
No, it wasn't Latveria. Maybe. It did sound a lot like Slovakia, but it wasn't Slovakia. I think it was Stovak.
Something like that. Yeah.
You know, but I know what I heard, but I can't remember what I heard. Anyway, so
welcome to the Rust Years.
Tell me about it. So the bus is blown up. We've got an interesting dynamic between all of the team, especially when Sky gets back and Ward's like, "Hey, we got everybody back together," and it's awkward.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Define back together.
Just stop talking.
It's in the same room.
One thing that bugged me about that.
One thing.
The scene where before the bus was blown up.
Mm-hmm.
You have the running through the room scene.
Uh-huh.
Running through the room scene.
Fitz runs this way. Gemma runs this way.
And Scooby-Doo is coming out the closet.
You know what they were doing?
What are they doing?
The director says, okay, you run to the right side, you run to the left side. Yeah, that's what that was.
And wait, why are
everybody
you
panic? Panic.
Yeah. But...
Then that's when you start listening to the Benny Hill theme going.
Yeah, exactly. But given what we saw later when Sky got into the base.
Sokovia,
thank you. When Sky got into the base and did her little RPG shootout, you know, the video game scene.
Yes.
That actually now makes more sense that Fitz would run this way and Gemma would run this way because people do that in the video games.
Yes, they do.
You
that's
know,
right.
You have the action going on and something's about to happen and the civilians are running in the background. They go one this way and one this way.
That's where they got their set directions. They just took a scene out of Halo 3 and set down.
Well, you know, I'm wondering about the who directed it. Mm-hmm. Whether they've got a background in video gaming, because
that was a really well done sequence, though.
It was. It was shot very well. It was choreographed really nicely. Mm-hmm. I wonder where Sky got all of those skills.
I was wondering that too.
She powered up at the previous levels.
May's been training her. She
got all that training from May.
I know, but we haven't seen any kind of a result from
that. She got from Black Widow.
No, we have seen some results from that because we've seen her do some things before she went to Puerto Rico.
Yeah,
we saw her hand-to-hand combat skills.
Yeah, but we didn't see this kind of level of skill. I mean, that's precision.
Yeah,
I know. But we did have the indication that she had been trained and that she knew how to handle herself.
Right.
She knew how to handle weapons now, and she. I mean,
yeah, it's implied. But
I'm
actually,
trying to
when she was on the island, she was training and she leveled up.
That could be well, I wonder how much her powers are able to augment her actual skills with all of this.
It reminds me of Black Widow fighting, almost.
It does. I mean, there was a little bit of an echo of that.
Well, it's very much. I mean, just in terms of its structure, it's very much an over-the-shoulder video game
style.
Look.
Yeah.
But was one of the places that it really showed to me was when she would get in close with the guns. The kind of you'd sit there and you're shooting someone from a foot away.
Yeah,
and there's a very distinct, and it has to do, I believe, and the real video game experts can correct me on this, but it's the graphics engines that they use for these things. It's just the look of it. It's how you get when you've got it's the physics of gunplay.
Right,
okay? You are the person shooting.
There is something. There's just a visual texture to it that is always there. Mm-hmm. And this was very much that. And I'm wondering how much of this scene was actually animated. How much of it was computer generated.
As opposed to practical.
Live action.
Oh, I'm sure there's quite a bit of it that's clearly practical. But I'm wondering if it's, you know, it could be as simple as the muzzle flare.
Yeah, just those accoutrements
that
make
it. It's just the whole thing. And honestly,
I wonder if they undercranked it.
That's possible too.
Because it felt, you're right. There was some digital artifacting.
Mm-hmm.
I think that gave it that. You know, not only the framing and the choreography and the way the whole thing was shot and the way all the action set went, but if you undercrank it just a little bit and then you play it back, then it's sharper, a little.
Yeah,
no, it's something. There's something in that, like you're saying, in the aesthetic.
Actually,
it really feels like it was done. deliberately.
It really, it's actually one of my favorite action sequences the show's ever done.
Yeah, it's a good one. It was a very good one.
Now, by undercranking, you mean shooting it at a higher speed?
No, you shoot it slightly slower, and then when you play it back, it goes faster.
Speed it up.
So that allows you to do all of the action not quite at full speed. So when you ramp it up and then it's even a little bit more. Yeah, it's even more than what you're actually capable of doing.
It was happening fast. Yeah.
Yeah, it went really fast, but it was done really well.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, props to the stunt guys.
Yes.
See, and there should be an award.
Mm-hmm. Yes, there should.
Oh, wait.
Let's give it now.
Why would they want to undercrank it when they could just use Twixter?
I don't know. Yeah. So the other part of this that I found interesting was when Ward and Gemma have their little confrontation after she almost tries to kill him.
Oh, right.
Well, no,
she kills Boxy, but not that he's not the preferred target. Yeah. She was going after Ward.
Yeah, mm-hmm. She only had one of those with her.
I almost felt a Whedon moment there.
Yep. I thought he was going to shoot her.
Yeah, I thought...
And I didn't.
It's 50-50. I was leaning toward he would, but when he said, "You've changed a lot, Gemma," that flipped it for me. I was like, okay, he's not going to shoot her. Now he respects her.
Mm.
But then he says, "I'm disappointed," and he walks off. And
right.
Well, wait a minute. Those emotional beats didn't track for
me. Well, he clearly expects everybody just to accept him as part of the team again. So he's still in his own little reality.
He doesn't really expect it, but he wants it.
Maybe he does expect it.
I think he expected everybody just to flip and say, okay, you're our team again.
Yeah, we're getting the band back together.
We're all fine with it. I just don't think he's dialed into reality.
I didn't get that sense at all. I got
what that he expected the team to come back together.
Well, that he expected to be accepted on the team.
Oh, I did. He was actually trying to say here.
Well, because he did say
forgive
a lot
me
of,
and, you know,
of hey, I know I screwed up. Yeah. And, I mean, there's a lot of that. So I think it's in his head.
No.
I don't know that he's necessarily believing it.
No.
I think he's saying things, but he's not necessarily.
Who knows what he believes?
He's using the words, but none of this is stuff that he believes because he had the entire. The end of the episode makes it very clear that he had the entire thing planned from the beginning, that he was never going to stick around with them. Mm-hmm. This was never going to be a permanent thing. He was never taking Coulson up on his offer.
Right. It was all about 33.
It was all about 33. Yeah. And that even if it wasn't about 33, Ward is crazy, but he's not stupid.
Yeah.
And so he wouldn't...
But why would he go through that whole speech?
Because let's talk about the elephant in the room. Well, because on one level, he wants them all to like him.
I don't think so.
Well, yeah. I think he wants them.
We just said that he didn't, though.
No. He had no intention of getting the team back together. He just wants them all to like him.
Yeah, I don't think that's happening, though. Do you?
No.
Oh, no. Good Lord, no.
Well, and part
Sky,
of that,
Sky personally is like really, really ready to forgive him. I mean, she feels very strongly
that he's
ready for another chance, and if they just work a little
harder, another chance
to
be shot,
the team can get back together, and everything's going to be fine after she shoots him.
Yeah,
and four more times.
Three,
Gemma
four,
plugs in with some kind of diviner.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, did we get any sense of hand of the writer when Coulson hands over his box? I mean, after all this time and effort,
Maybe not.
For him to just finally say, okay, here. You know,
well, I think he's done with it. I think he's done what he needed to do with it.
I think he made adjustments to it and has protected some.
We don't really know what the box did.
Well,
it was Fury's box, right?
No, but it brings up all of these.
And data.
Yeah, it brings up all this information. That's what he's been, when he goes into his office and he's been.
That's where he gets
waving
it
in the air and thumbing through, you know.
The hand wavium thing.
Yes. When it looks like sort of. Video, you know, computer screens in the air.
Sure,
that's all came from the box.
Okay,
yeah,
and I think he modified it.
He certainly could have modified it, but even if he hasn't, even if he hasn't modified it, I don't know if I necessarily got a sense of the hand of the writer.
No, I think that he came in with his own agenda, and he wasn't ready to reveal that box yet until everything else had been taken care of. You know, if he had just abandoned the team and not saved the the Inhumans that were on the base, not gotten them out of into safety.
Inhuman.
Yeah.
Oh,
there was
yeah,
only, there right. was only one
the augmented Death human and
that we know of.
That we know.
Because there were other people there
in the cargo
besides Deathlock and Lincoln. Yeah, we don't know who else was
well,
being
we
held
the
prisoner
twins
there.
Might be there.
Oh no, they're all dead. They actually
said they didn't.
Yeah,
do
no,
well.
Nobody else survived.
But he said the twins
Except
did.
The twins.
Yeah.
Well, the twins are gone.
They're not there.
Well, there's a Quicksilver and the Scarlet Witch. They're gone.
Yeah, they're with Ultron.
So. So at this point, they're not with Ultron yet. In the context of the TV show, they're not with Ultron yet. They're with Strucker.
Right.
I think Coulson was playing chess. He knew he would eventually give that over, but he wanted to do it at a point where he could say checkmate to Gonzalez and say,
could be.
Yeah, by the way, you know, when you activate this, Fury's coming to get it. And oh, by the way, there's Maria on my phone. You know, sorry, sucks to be you. You're not in charge anymore.
I never was.
No, but he thought he was.
Well, no, because he wasn't in charge. He was on a committee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which
is stupid. Stupid idea.
Look, I think there's something to be said for having rational discussions with your peers and coming to a decision. Mm-hmm. This is called democracy. We're kind of fans here. Mm-hmm. However, if you are a spy organization, you're going to have somebody in charge at the top.
Yeah.
And there has to be, because spy organizations, no matter how carefree and freewheeling your spies may be, and that can range everywhere from Austin Powers to Bond or anything in between, right? There's someone calling the shots because that's how there's at least a loose military style structure.
Well, sure. Otherwise, you have a diffusion of responsibility. You get people stepping all over each other's plans. Yeah.
Which is what was happening actually in Gonzalez's shield.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right. And of course the basic idea that we're looking for we're gonna have transparency. No you're not.
No you're not.
You're a spy organization.
Yeah.
There's no such thing.
Even if you're not
transparent. Were not.
Of course not. But even if you don't want to consider yourself a spy agency, you're a security agency. There's always a level of you know, protection in between you and the people who work for you. If you're going to be out in the field, you're not going to know everything, because if you get captured and someone picks your brain by force,
they're going to find out what's in the cargo hold before we do.
Here's all the security codes. Here's the maglock release for our secret base in the Arctic. now I see how they got in. Okay, never mind.
Well, plus we have
now
to start.
It becomes clear.
Plus, we have to start setting up the new series, the new spinoff, which I think we started to get pieces of that tonight, because we've got Bobby and Hunter back at the base.
Mm-hmm.
Bobby's still having her back and forth waffling. Mm-hmm. I think the spinoff is going to be those two, and Sky and Lincoln, and Deathlock.
What about
maybe
Raina?
Maybe recurring. I don't think Raina. No, because Ruth Negga is going over to Preacher.
Oh. What's going to happen to 33?
I don't know, but she's not an Inhuman, and she's not an Avenger, and she's technically still a SHIELD agent.
Right.
But you know,
she's compromised.
There's any place where she could land. I don't know. It depends on what kind of deal they make.
It'll be a while before they give her a gun again.
Yeah, but I think spinoff is going to be, because some people were saying West Coast Avengers. I think it's either going to be Secret Avengers, or some version of Secret Warriors, where maybe not Sky is in charge, but Mockingbird is in charge, and Quake just happens to be along for the ride as part of it. Maybe. I don't know. Would Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. be good without Sky?
Well, she's been so integral for so long, but
the very beginning.
But to say it wouldn't survive without her, you know,
no, it would kind of survive without her.
I'm wondering is if they've done some focus on her and the whole Inhuman thing in order to set up her going off with, and she becomes the leader or somebody with the Secret Warriors, and Bobby and Hunter are there just basically as her handlers, maybe. And that becomes the new show. Because we haven't heard anything about any other casting or any deals or producers or anything. We don't know anything about this new show other than Jeff Bell and Zibizewski. however he pronounces his name, they're going to be the showrunners. And we know that Adrian Palicki and Nick Blood have got deals to top line the show. Other than that, we have no idea what this new spinoff show is going to be about.
So basically, is it still in the planning phases, or it's already in development?
As far as I know, it's in development. I mean, last I heard, Palicki and Blood both had deals on the table. They were in negotiations last week for lead roles.
Of the 20th, they were in negotiations. Hmm. Final discussions to headline the potential new series.
Maybe they'll enter the Matrix and go after Zola. I like that.
I think it's going to be Secret Warriors.
Will be based off storylines occurring by the end of the second season.
We're getting close to the end of the second season.
Right now, they're setting it up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I imagine in the next couple of episodes, we'll see more focus on Bobby.
We'll see Gonzalez's shield is going to fall apart. Right. Or get reabsorbed.
Yeah, as it is.
When we find out what's in the basement, in the cargo hold.
Right.
The basement.
Yes.
That's where we are.
The basement.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, it's... Yeah. There's always a problem if there's, like, some great mystery about the thing in the cargo hold. Don't go into the basement. You really don't want to do that. There's something down there. Don't split up.
It's a stash of magazines that they don't want people to see. That's all it is, you know.
Obviously Gonzalez's shield is not going to be an ongoing concern beyond this season.
Right.
It's going to be, a reabsorbed or exposed or whatever it is going to be. Mm-hmm. Coulson's going to be back in charge. Or Fury's going to pop up and, be in charge again with Coulson doing the... Actually, I don't think Fury's going to come back and be in charge, but...
Not on the TV show.
Okay.
Yeah.
What if they set up Secret Avengers in the movies with Nick Fury in charge, and they'll leave that open? Maybe that's a Phase 3 thing somewhere down the line, but they start setting that up coming out of Civil War.
Could be.
Because I know a lot of people want to see West Coast Avengers.
Yeah, just because they want to see it doesn't mean that's what's going to happen.
Well, no, I know, but West Coast Avengers, you've got Mockingbird was part of that group.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Was Quake West Coast? All right. So we've got, the possibility,
Wasn't Quake part of the Inhumans?
No.
In the comics?
At one point? She's been with Avengers at one point.
She came out of the Avengers Academy.
Yeah, and she's in charge of Secret Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
She's been Nick Fury's right-hand protege.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
She's the daughter of Blockbuster. I'm sorry, of Mr. Hyde.
Yeah, there were several storylines with her and Wolverine, which we're not going to be able to see. And that would be interesting to see Chloe Bennett and Hugh Jackman. Because their level of acting experience is so different.
Oh, yeah.
That would be wild.
Yeah.
But
can she sing? get the musical episode.
I think she does have a background as a singer.
We actually have not had the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. singing episode. It's not a Joss Whedon joint. What the heck's going
on
here?
We're not even to the end of the second season.
We'll get musical episode maybe in the third season.
No, that's going to be the
one of the Infinity Stones makes them all sing.
Well, I think that's going to be the Infinity War. It's going to be a musical.
There we go.
Both parts.
It goes on and
one
on.
One of the
and
side
on.
Effects is uncontrollable urge to do jazz hands.
It's an opera.
Yeah.
And you know,
a space
Thanos,
opera.
Thanos will have his old horn helmet and all that stuff.
Thor's going to show up.
And Bugs Bunny. Bugs Bunny singing his little operatic piece.
What's that, Jeff?
I said I would say it's because of the music meister, but that's Batman's villain.
Yeah. Although,
well, the
Neil Patrick Harris could, play something.
Doctor Horrible.
Bring him in. Well, if they don't call him a mutant, could they call him Banshee for something?
And it'll get nominated for an Emmy.
That's probably going to be about as close as Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is going to get to getting nominated by Emmy.
Speaking of the mutants, let's digress for just a second into other Marvel territory for a second. Mm-hmm. X-Men Age of Apocalypse now has a start date of April 27th, which was yesterday.
It's already filming.
They're started shooting.
There's photos from the set.
Yeah, and that includes a young Jean Grey.
Mm-hmm. Young
Storm.
Scott Summers.
Nightcrawler.
Some good photos of Jubilee, who looks disturbingly like her 1980s incarnation, because I was there and I was reading the X-Men in the 80s. And
did you have a crush on
Jubilee? Shoulder pads. Oh, God, the shoulder pads and the hair.
Are the set photos or the shoulder
pads? Like how she does from the 90s cartoon.
Yeah, she really does.
Well, awesome. And I saw a mention, I don't remember where it was. It may have been IO9, talking about how Age of Apocalypse would probably be the project that has those callbacks to the cartoon more than any of the other movies.
Sure. Because it's falling into that time period and that where if you lived through the 80s or the early 90s, you don't actually break this stuff down by year. It just all just kind of blurs together.
Yeah.
And so you got this kind of flexible ability to do this kind of like, oh, yeah, I remember that. That was so like that. You know, realize it didn't happen until like 5 years later. It doesn't matter. It was exactly like that.
Yeah.
Because that's how memory works. But it looks like a thing that's happening. The rumor now is that this is going to be Singer's last X-Men movie. That he's basically done his time with the franchise that he's basically wrapping up now. Who knows? I think that if I were a certain studio who had the rights to the X-Men, I'd probably try and keep giving Bryan Singer large sums of money.
Because he's got to go do the new Battlestar Galactica.
Well, I'd like him to go do that, yes. I'm just saying that if I was the studio...
I don't want him to do Battlestar Galactica. We've already had two. Uh-huh. No reason for a third one.
He wants to make a sequel to the TV show. They've got to reboot.
Yeah. That X-Men TV show had the best guitar solo.
Yes, absolutely.
In the history of theme songs.
I'm ready for a Gargoyles movie.
I watched that because my son was the right age at that time.
Those shows are actually all available online now. Disney put it all on their YouTube channel.
That it will probably end up happening.
Yeah, eventually.
That show used to scare me.
Yeah,
and the gargoyles, all of those creatures, they'll all be CG, which means that the original voice cast could come back.
Yes, yeah,
and play them, and Jonathan Frakes could still play his character.
Animated cartoon series, right? Okay, yeah. Okay.
So, because Frakes has the beard still, and all he's got to do is just lose maybe 10 pounds, and he could still play that character, even older, but still. Would play that character. And the movie could be a continuation. It could just pick up. Wherever they are 20
some
years
it's
later.
It's not 20 years. It can't be 20.
It's more than that.
It's like 15.
Yeah. What?
When was Gargoyles?
It's not 20 years ago.
Gargoyles was
97.
90.
It was like 95
released.
Now it was after it was okay. So
then
then
he must have seen it in reruns.
It was right after Next Generation went off the air.
Well, that doesn't.
Next Generation started in what 87?
Was it that early?
88.
What?
Because I wasn't.
I thought it was maybe like early 90s.
Hang on.
Yeah.
Kind of going. Let's see. 1994 to 1996.
Yeah.
Gargoyles?
Yeah.
Yes.
94 to 96.
20 years.
Next Generation started in 87.
Okay.
Christmas-ish. And it ran 7 years. And then Marina Sirtis and Jonathan Frakes immediately went to Gargoyles after that.
Garrett must have watched
it. It's been 20 years.
Yeah.
Wait, Gargoyles was on 20 years ago?
Yep.
94 to 96.
That makes sense. Garrett's what, 26?
How do you like them gray hairs?
He must have been watching it in reruns.
It's been syndicated for a long time. But yeah, I would say we could pick up right where it left off, which now we need to do to go back to our analysis of.
Speaking of, we digress.
Well, hang on, Jeff, because Jeff had a comment. And he wanted to you wanted to talk about say something about Nightcrawler. What was it that you noticed?
I really liked this younger version of Nightcrawler that they're showing. I liked the one from the trilogy that we got, but I like the lack of tattoos and inscriptions on this one that we got.
Yeah, because Joker's got a lock on the tattoos now.
Which is completely yeah. been revealed as not happening.
Right. Yeah, I saw that.
So.
Good. Good.
But, you know, like everything else motion picture marketing, it could be a lie.
Yeah, except that every other shot of him that we've seen that has anything to do with the film doesn't show any of this stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, no,
the Nightcrawler kind of looked like Andrew Garfield if he was Nightcrawler. But I know it's not.
A little bit, yeah. Who is playing Nightcrawler in this new movie?
Younger guy. I can't remember his name. I actually had no problem whatsoever with the Alan Cumming version of Nightcrawler.
I thought he did a good job with it.
Yeah. And I kind of liked the whole tattoo and things because of the backstory with it. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I have no problem with him also changing that. The reboot of Days of Future Past has made it possible for them to do all sorts of new, you know, mm-hmm. pretty much whatever they want, which is kind of the point. So,
do over.
Exactly.
Nightcrawler is Cody Smith McPhee.
So what?
Cody Smith McPhee.
Yep. He's German, isn't he?
Probably.
No.
Well, I don't know. McPhee is not exactly a German name.
But Schmidt is.
Smith. S-M-I-T.
Smith. Oh.
But Cody is spelled K-O-D-I. So
yeah, I think that's a Germanic spelling. I think he's probably at least from that part of the country, part of the world.
Mm-hmm. Or perhaps that's family is.
Yeah.
Could be. Yep. Okay, so Age of Ultron is out this week.
Yep, yep.
This weekend. We're going to go see it.
We will talk spoilers.
Because we'll have to see it in order to know what's going on next week. So we'll plan for that. The dynamic between Cal and Jiaqing seems to have changed just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Especially given the fact that Cal kind of blew the secret, yelling at her in the middle of the square.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which...
where all people could hear, oh, wait, this is her daughter? Huh? So there's going to be some repercussions off of that.
Yeah. That and the dynamic between her and Reyna has changed, too.
Yeah.
Reyna is being much more willful and challenging.
I loved how Sky basically likened her to being Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yes.
That was great. I love that.
Well, and the other thing is we did see Reyna talking to some of the other people around, and with Cal describing her, you know, sociopath, given to temper tantrums or fits of rage or whatever.
Manipulative.
We had good times.
We had good times, yeah.
Oh, yes.
You need to watch her. it's just that flip right there, because that we had good times is completely different from everything else.
Such a fun thing with this character.
Oh, he is. He is. Really, you can tell he's having fun with
this. God, yeah. So he's clearly enjoying himself.
Yeah. I mean, how often do you get to go that over the top with a part that you play?
Well, right. And I can remember...
And play that much crazy.
I'm old enough to remember watching Dune in the movie theater.
mm-hmm.
I'm old enough to remember when Blue Velvet came out.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I've seen Showgirls. So, you know, I've seen the highs and lows of his career. But there was a time when they actually looked at Kyle MacLachlan and go, God, that kid is so stiff.
Mm-hmm.
That was actually a big criticism of him. Yeah. And then Twin Peaks rolled around.
Yeah.
And everyone sat there and went, oh.
Maybe it wasn't just him.
He just got the right role.
Well, something like Blue Velvet, playing the part the way that he did, fit that universe so just perfectly.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And Dune was a curious film.
To say the
least. It was an interesting film.
And visually it's extremely interesting, but... it just this second part of his career, maybe let's call it the second part. He's just having fun. I mean, he's clearly enjoying himself.
It's almost parallel to Robert Downey Jr. or Mickey Rourke.
Yeah.
Or you know some of these other actors who have hit whatever slump they hit, and then they get rediscovered. Almost, it's almost like somebody. And I think it could be a generational thing. Tim and I were talking about earlier the video game craze, mm-hmm. and this generation of people who grew up on arcade games and the Atari 2600, yes. and you know the Game Boy and all of the early ones. We're now in charge. We're our generation, the people our age, are now running things, and we remember Kyle MacLachlan in his early career mm-hmm. and Robert Downey Jr. But we're also rediscovering
right.
those actors that maybe have been out of the spotlight for a long time, mm-hmm. and we go, oh, and there's that realization that mm-hmm. that these people do have a talent that was missing for a while, and now they're back full force.
Well, I think there's some of these cases they stopped being cool or fashionable or they got so locked into. I mean, Kyle MacLachlan kind of, you know, Agent Cooper was kind of
yep, that was
the
it.
Role
he was Agent
that
Cooper.
Stamped on him.
Yeah. Then he went to the dark side. You know, he played a bad guy in Warehouse 13 too.
He played a bad guy in a lot of things. Yeah. There was a neat little period where he was showing up playing villains in what was the one with the magic happy girl child who was going mm-hmm. to save the world? It was a
Believe.
Oh. Thank you. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Terrible show. Yep. Best part about it, Kyle MacLachlan is one of the villains.
Yeah. Right.
Because his villain actually had depth. It was like right. he didn't see himself as the villain.
Of
he
course
saw
not.
Himself as well, but so many of these, you know, all the bad guys on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. know they're bad guys. Hydra, at no point are the folks at Hydra going,
we're the good guys.
If we were just in charge, world would be a better place.
Yeah.
It's more like, you know, but so the best villains are the ones who don't see themselves as the bad guys. Mm-hmm. And so that
like
was
Kingpin.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Definitely.
Kingpin. Oh, that was such a great performance from D'Onofrio.
So that was actually the only one reason to tune into that show was to watch Kyle MacLachlan sit there and explain himself. And you're going, you're making perfect. Wait, you're the bad guy. Hang on. So there was that little period. But for the most part, you know, the Kyle MacLachlan, you know, the kind of was gone. And Mickey Rourke kind of did it to himself to some
he
degree
did,
with
right.
his with right. going off and getting his face rearranged.
Well, and Downey the same way.
So, but the fact is that all these guys had a lot of talent. Mm-hmm. And that talent never went away. And it took this director, this project to sit there and go.
It's basically somebody in our group who remembers
yeah.
and brings them back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I saw, what did I see the other day? I think I saw a headline. Andrew Dice Clay, I think, has got a new project in the works. You remember him?
He actually showed up yeah. on a couple of different things. One thing I want to say, I can't remember what it, but he was basically playing himself. Another one, he was playing just an ordinary mm-hmm. guy.
Hmm.
I'm actually just one of the people who actually enjoyed for good or for ill, The Adventures of Ford Fairlane. It's not a good movie.
No.
But I laughed a lot. And, you know.
That's fine.
And about half of his comedy is really funny.
Yeah. Okay.
The other half?
Not so much.
The other half is not so much. But, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of these folks. There are a lot of folks who are really talented who kind of got locked into the vision mm-hmm. of who they were, or the kinds of movies they were making.
Typecasting.
Yeah.
Yep. They get cast as one thing that does really well, and then they can't
get
into anything else.
But I'll be honest, you know, I've still maintained for years and years and years, and I will continue probably till I die, that Sylvester Stallone should have had a whole new career after making Copland.
Oh, yeah.
Because
yeah.
Copland is an amazing film. Yes. He proves, if you ever had any question, and a lot of people do, mm-hmm. if Stallone is an actor, watch Copland.
Yeah.
Because he's so good in that film.
He's also a very good writer, too.
And it just completely didn't change anything. It's like, see, oh, no.
See, the thing with Stallone is he played, I think Rambo is probably the biggest one. Rambo and Rocky, but mm-hmm. Rambo more than Rocky, worked against him in getting him that image of not being smart.
Mm-hmm.
Because he is a very smart guy.
Yeah,
and
talented,
you know, he's
painter.
Talented painter, great writer. He's a really good writer.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. He is completely underrated as an actor.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. Copland should have been a turning point for him.
Yeah.
And it wasn't. But speaking of turning points.
I see what you did there.
Yeah.
You did?
See, we practice these things.
Yeah.
You know, set up and
this would be the turning in point. I think
the turning in point,
getting,
yes.
You're just good at improvising segues.
Yes, yes.
That is what I do.
Well done.
Yes, thank you. Okay, so that is going to do it for us. If you have a comment or a theory or an idea or a suggestion or a question or something that you want to rant about in regards to the Marvel Cinematic Universe at large, you can send us an email, level1187@scififorme.com, or leave us a comment. And if you are listening to this because somebody shared the link with you, welcome. Now that the show's over, thanks for listening. And we do invite you to subscribe. If you're on an Apple device, you can find us on iTunes. If you're on an Android, we're on OneCast, Double Twist, and Stitcher. And all you have to do is look for Sci-Fi for Me Radio, and you will find this show as well as the Rogues Gallery, which is where Jeff normally resides, and Sci-Fi for Chicks, and the Echo Chamber when we have it. We got to do a new one of those. I've got a topic. We've got to kick around for Echo Chamber. And then, of course, all of the latest news and rumor and what all over at scififorme.com. And that's going to do it for this dirty half dozen.
Oh, look at you being all smart and whatnot.
Awesome. Oh, yes.
Come get your whatnot.
This is why they pay me the big bucks.
Well, you say dirty, but I did shower before I came here. I did shower before I came here, so we're not all dirty.
Yeah. Ah. And that's just basically a question of moving money from one bank account to the other and back to the other and your stuff. Yeah, I don't. Yeah, none of us get paid for this yet. All right, so that's going to do it for us. I want to thank the panel of meddling kids tonight. Cami Settle.
Good night.
Maya Aides.
Good night.
Tim Harvey.
Good night.
Dan Handley.
Good night.
And from Fort Worth, Jeff Hackworth.
Signing off.
And we will be back with more Level 1187 next week.
This has been a presentation of SciFiForMe.com. Copyright 2015 by Flaming Dog Media, LLC. All rights reserved. No portion of this program may be retransmitted without the express written consent of Flaming Dog Media. This is Sci-Fi For Me Radio.